Chapter 34, in which a notable plan is discussed and determined on. It was a chill, damp, windy night when the Jew, buttoning his greatcoat tight round his shriveled body and pulling the collar up over his ears so as completely to obscure the lower part of his face, emerged from his den. He paused on the step as the door was locked and chained behind him, and having listened, while the boys made all secure, and until their retreating footsteps were no longer audible, slunk down the street as quickly as he could. The house to which Oliver had been conveyed was in the neighborhood of Whitechapel. The Jew stopped for an instant at the corner of the street, and, glancing suspiciously round, crossed the road, and struck off in the direction of the Spitalfields. The mud lay thick upon the stones, and a black mist hung over the streets. The rain fell sluggishly down, and everything felt cold and clammy to the touch. It seemed just the night when it befitted such a being as the Jew to be abroad. As he glided stealthily along, creeping beneath the shelter of the walls and doorways, the hideous old man seemed like some loathsome reptile, engendered in the slime and darkness through which he moved, crawling forth, by night, in search of some rich offal for a meal. He kept on his course, through many winding and narrow ways, until he reached Bethnal Green. Then, turning suddenly off to the left, he soon became involved in a maze of the mean and dirty streets which abound in that close and densely populated quarter. The Jew was evidently too familiar with the ground he traversed to be at all bewildered, either by the darkness of the night or the intricacies of the way. He hurried through several alleys and streets, and at length turned into one, lighted only by a single lamp at the farther end. At the door of a house in this street, he knocked. Having exchanged a few muttered words with the person who opened it, he walked upstairs. A dog growled as he touched the handle of a room door, and a man's voice demanded who was there. "Only me, Bill, only me, my dear," apostrophe said the Jew looking in. "Bring in your body then," apostrophe said Sykes. "Lie down, you stupid brute. Don't you know the devil, when he's got a great coat on?" Apostrophe, apparently, the dog had been somewhat deceived by Mr. Fagin's outer garment, for as the Jew unbuttoned it, and threw it over the back of a chair, he retired to the corner from which he had risen, wagging his tail as he went, to show that he was as well satisfied as it was in his nature to be. "Well," apostrophe apostrophe said Sykes. "Well, my dear," apostrophe replied the Jew. "Ah, Nancy," apostrophe, the latter recognition was uttered with just enough of embarrassment to imply a doubt of its reception, for Mr. Fagin and his young friend had not met since she had interfered in behalf of Oliver. All doubts upon the subject, if he had any, were speedily removed by the young lady's behavior. She took her feet off the fender, pushed back her chair, and bade Fagin draw up his, without saying more about it. For it was a cold night, and no mistake. "It is cold, Nancy dear," apostrophe said the Jew, as he warmed his skinny hands over the fire. "It seems to go right through one," apostrophe added the old man, touching his side. "It must be a piercer, if it finds its way through your heart," apostrophe said Mr. Sykes. "Give him something to drink, Nancy. Burn my body, make haste. It's enough to turn a man ill, to see his lean old carcass shivering in that way, like a ugly ghost just rose from the grave." Apostrophe, Nancy quickly brought a bottle from a cupboard, in which there were many, which, to judge from the diversity of their appearance, were filled with several kinds of liquids. Sykes, pouring out a glass of brandy, bade the Jew drink it off. "Quite enough, quite, thank you, Bill," apostrophe replied the Jew, putting down the glass after just setting his lips to it. "What? You're afraid of our getting the better of you, are you?" apostrophe inquired Sykes, fixing his eyes on the Jew. "Ugh!" apostrophe, with a hoarse grunt of contempt, Mr. Sykes seized the glass, and threw the remainder of its contents into the ashes, as a preparatory ceremony to filling it again for himself, which he did at once. The Jew glanced round the room, as his companion tossed down the second glassful, not in curiosity, for he had seen it often before, but in a restless and suspicious manner habitual to him. It was a meanly furnished apartment, with nothing but the contents of the closet to induce the belief that its occupier was anything but a working man, and with no more suspicious articles displayed to view than two or three heavy bludgeons which stood in a corner, and a life preserver that hung over the chimney piece. "There," apostrophe said Sykes, smacking his lips. "Now I'm ready. Apostrophe, for business?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired the Jew. "For business, apostrophe," replied Sykes. "So say what you've got to say. Apostrophe, about the crib at Chertsey, Bill?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the Jew, drawing his chair forward, and speaking in a very low voice.
"Yes.
What about it?" Apostrophe, inquired Sykes.
"Ah, you know what I mean, my dear," apostrophe, said the Jew. "He knows what I mean, Nancy, don't he?"
Apostrophe, apostrophe, "no, he don't," apostrophe, sneered Mr. Sykes.
"Or he won't, and that's the same thing. Speak out, and call things by their right names. Don't sit there, winking and blinking, and talking to me in hints, as if you weren't the very first that thought about the robbery.
What do you mean?"
Apostrophe, "hush, Bill, hush."
Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the Jew, who had in vain attempted to stop this burst of indignation.
"Somebody will hear us, my dear. Somebody will hear us."
Apostrophe, "let 'em hear."
Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Sykes. "I don't care."
Apostrophe, but as Mr. Sykes did care, on reflection, he dropped his voice as he said the words, and grew calmer.
"There, there," apostrophe, said the Jew, coaxingly. "It was only my caution, nothing more. Now, my dear, about that crib at Chertsey, when is it to be done, Bill, eh? When is it to be done?"
"Such plate, my dear, such plate," apostrophe, said the Jew, rubbing his hands, and elevating his eyebrows in a rapture of anticipation.
"Not at all," apostrophe, replied Sykes coldly.
"Not to be done at all," apostrophe, apostrophe, echoed the Jew, leaning back in his chair.
"No, not at all," apostrophe, rejoined Sykes.
"At least it can't be a put-up job, as we expected."
Apostrophe, "then it hasn't been properly gone about," apostrophe, said the Jew, turning pale with anger.
"Don't tell me."
Apostrophe, "but I will tell you," apostrophe, retorted Sykes.
"Who are you that's not to be told?
I tell you that Toby Crackit has been hanging about the place for a fortnight, and he can't get one of the servants in line."
Apostrophe, "do you mean to tell me, Bill," apostrophe, said the Jew, softening as the other grew heated,
"that neither of the two men in the house can be got over?"
Apostrophe, apostrophe, "yes, I do mean to tell you so," apostrophe, replied Sykes.
"The old lady has had 'em these 20 years, and if you were to give 'em £500, they wouldn't be in it."
Apostrophe, "but do you mean to say, my dear," apostrophe, remonstrated the Jew, "that the women can't be got over?"
Apostrophe, apostrophe, "not a bit of it," apostrophe, replied Sykes.
"Not by flash, Toby Crackit?"
Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the Jew incredulously.
"Think what women are, Bill," apostrophe,
"no, not even by flash, Toby Crackit," apostrophe, replied Sykes.
"He says he's worn sham whiskers, and a canary waistcoat, the whole blessed time he's been loitering down there, and it's all of no use."
Apostrophe, "he should have tried mustachios, and a pair of military trousers, my dear," apostrophe, said the Jew.
"So he did," apostrophe, rejoined Sykes, "and they weren't of no more use than the other plant."
Apostrophe, the Jew looked blank at this information. After ruminating for some minutes with his chin sunk on his breast, he raised his head and said, with a deep sigh, that if Flash Toby Crackit reported aright, he feared the game was up.
"And yet," apostrophe, said the old man, dropping his hands on his knees, "it's a sad thing, my dear, to lose so much, when we had set our hearts upon it."
Apostrophe, "so it is," apostrophe, said Mr. Sykes.
"Worse luck.
apostrophe, a long silence ensued, during which the Jew was plunged in deep thought, with his face wrinkled into an expression of villainy perfectly demoniacal. Sykes eyed him furtively from time to time. Nancy, apparently fearful of irritating the housebreaker, sat with her eyes fixed upon the fire, as if she had been deaf to all that passed. Fagin, apostrophe, said Sykes, abruptly breaking the stillness that prevailed. Is it worth 50 shiners extra, if it's safely done from the outside? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, apostrophe, said the Jew, as suddenly rousing himself. Is it a bargain? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Sykes. Yes, my dear, yes, apostrophe, rejoined the Jew, his eyes glistening, and every muscle in his face working, with the excitement that the inquiry had awakened. Then, apostrophe, said Sykes, thrusting aside the Jew's hand, with some disdain, let it come off, as soon as you like. Toby and me were over the garden wall the night afore last, sounding the panels of the door and shutters. The crypt's barred up at night like a jail, but there's one part we can crack, safe and softly. Apostrophe, which is that, Bill? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked the Jew eagerly. Why, apostrophe, whispered Sykes, as you cross the lawn, apostrophe, yes. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the Jew, bending his head forward, with his eyes almost starting out of it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Sykes, stopping short, as the girl, scarcely moving her head, looked suddenly round, and pointed for an instant to the Jew's face. Never mind which part it is. You can't do it without me, I know, but it's best to be on the safe side, when one deals with you. Apostrophe, as you like, my dear, as you like, replied the Jew. Is there no help wanted, but yours and Toby's? Apostrophe, apostrophe, none, apostrophe, said Sykes. Sept a center bit and a boy. The first we've both got, the second you must find us. Apostrophe, a boy. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed the Jew. Oh, then it's a panel, eh? Apostrophe, never mind what it is. Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied Sykes. I want a boy, and he must be a big gun. Lord! Apostrophe, said Mr. Sykes, reflectively, if I'd only got that young boy of Ned, the chimney sweeper's. He kept him small on purpose, and let him out by the job. But the father gets lagged, and then the juvenile delinquent society comes, and takes the boy away from a trade, where he was earning money, teaches him to read and write, and in time makes apprentice of him. And so they go on, apostrophe, said Mr. Sykes, his wrath rising with the recollection of his wrongs, so they go on, and, if they'd got money enough, which it's a providence they haven't, we shouldn't have half a dozen boys left in the whole trade, in a year or two. Apostrophe, no more we should, apostrophe, acquiesced the Jew, who had been considering during this speech, and had only caught the last sentence. Bill, apostrophe, apostrophe, what now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Sykes. The Jew nodded his head towards Nancy, who was still gazing at the fire, and intimated, by a sign, that he would have her told to leave the room. Sykes shrugged his shoulders impatiently, as if he thought the precaution unnecessary, but complied, nevertheless, by requesting Miss Nancy to fetch him a jug of beer. You don't want any beer, apostrophe, said Nancy, folding her arms, and retaining her seat very composedly. I tell you I do, apostrophe, apostrophe, replied Sykes. Nonsense, apostrophe, rejoined the girl coolly. Go on, Fagin. I know what he's going to say, Bill. He needn't mind me. Apostrophe, the Jew still hesitated. Sykes looked from one to the other in some surprise. Why, you don't mind the old girl, do you, Fagin? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he asked at length. You've known her long enough to trust her, or the devil's in it. She ain't one to blab. Are you Nancy? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I should think not. Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied the young lady, drawing her chair up to the table, and putting her elbows upon it. No, no, my dear, I know you're not, apostrophe, said the Jew, But apostrophe and again the old man paused. But what? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Sykes. I didn't know whether she mightn't perhaps be out of sorts, you know, my dear, as she was the other night, apostrophe replied the Jew. At this confession, Miss Nancy burst into a loud laugh, and, swallowing a glass of brandy, shook her head with an air of defiance, and burst into sundry exclamations of keep the game a-going. Apostrophe apostrophe never say die. Apostrophe and the like. These seemed to have the effect of reassuring both gentlemen, for the Jew nodded his head with a satisfied air, and resumed his seat. As did Mr. Sykes likewise. Now, Fagin, apostrophe said Nancy with a laugh. Tell Bill at once, about Oliver. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.